Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, reporting for duty to lovers of Christ, to retired cops, and to servants of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Queen Mother. Paul, how are you, my friend?
Oh, Jess, blessed. Too blessed to be stressed.
That's right, because we know how the story ends. See, when you know how the story ends, Paul, you have faith and hope for the present moment. When you don't know how the story ends, you kind of live life by the seat of your pants. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And we can have confidence that everything on planet Earth is being directed by our God. And I know a lot of people have a hard time with that because they say, well, you know, they see the chaos, but always refer to the answer. Why does God allow this evil to exist at this point in time? And it's to bring about a greater good. You know, love involves a choice. And so God has given us many choices right now.
Amen. Paul, a young guy was asking me last night. I was giving a talk to a bunch of men, and he was asking me, just a young guy, hey, Jess, what about coincidences? You know, what about these things that happen, these coincidences? So I responded to the young guy. I said, look it, for you and myself, for human beings, we may call certain things that happen in life, you know, fate or accident or coincidence. But for God, it's all in his plan. It's all his divine providence. I said, I call coincidences as a Christian. I call them God incidences. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is that it's either directed by God or it's permitted by God. But for God, there are no coincidences. It's a God incidence. Everything that happens to us and around us is either directed by God or permitted by God. But there are no surprises for God. There may be surprises for you and I, but not for him.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, Paul, I want to jump into the first before I do, I just want to mention a couple of news items that I think are important to mention. As Catholics, we have to remember that we're in a battle, and this battle is going to continue until we breathe our last breath. We've got to, as they say in the army, we got to soldier on. Here's a couple of things I want to mention. Kyle Seraphim, a former FBI whistleblower, he was actually voted Catholic of the Year. He tells us a powerful story as he warns that the FBI will not stop at targeting Catholics. He said, no. Slowly but surely, the FBI is probing its way into all religious communities. All Christians are in the crosshairs. The idea of the FBI targeting a so-called radical Baptist or radical Lutheran in the near future is certainly on the table. So he's saying,
without a doubt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially if Biden wins, this is going to continue. Yeah.
Yeah, Jess. So when you look at things, you know, in the big scheme of things, this is, you mentioned that we're at war, and this war is really the powers of hell influencing sinful men to revolt and rebel against God.
Amen.
And the greatest representation and worship of God on planet Earth comes from the Catholic Church. Amen. So of course, Catholics are going to be targeted first. As we've said many times before, if the Catholic Church falls, and this isn't my words, this is the words of prominent Protestant Christians.
Yes.
If the Catholic Church falls, Christianity falls.
Yes.
And so again, if we're thinking about it in terms of a war, you know, they want to take out the head so that the rest of the people will fall.
Hmm. Yep. Amen. I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, just want to remind people, as a Catholic, remember, that what you started in Lent, you know, this, you cultivated a prayer life. Some people have a stronger prayer life now. Keep it up. Don't stop. Lent isn't something that was just done for 40 days. Whatever Lenten practices you learned and acquired, make sure you keep them up. Also, Denver mayor defunds the police to give millions of dollars to illegal immigrants. Interesting. Also, here's a bit of good news. Here in Arizona, the left tried to repeal an abortion law that was passed in 1864, then again in 1917, and then again in 1977. So it's passed three times, and they lost last night. It stood on the books. So in Arizona, abortion is not allowed all 9 months except for the safety of the mother, the life of the mother. So that fight will continue, but at least the first round was won here by the pro-lifers. Paul, I want to jump in and let's talk about today's topic. I mean, there are things that we have to mention. I know they're not. The topic is called Deliver Us from the Scourge of Cafeteria Cardinals and Bishops, written by Dr. Horvat, a friend of the show. He says, tragically, Catholics are used to Catholic politicians who pick and choose the issues they adhere to in the church teaching. The most notorious case is that of the America's current president, who uses all the powers of government to promote the LGBTQ agenda and a North Korean-style abortion policy until birth, all the while claiming to be a Holy Communion receiving, a rosary-carrying devout Catholic. Cardinal Wilton Gregory, boy, is he in for a surprise if he doesn't repent. He better have that St. Dismas moment before he dies. Cardinal Wilton Gregory, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., recently characterized the president as a, quote, very sincere in his faith, close quote. However, he also labeled the president as a cafeteria Catholic who picks and chooses only those parts of Catholicism that suit his political agenda. Well, I'm going to have to tip my hat to Cardinal Wilton Gregory. I know I've been critical of him in the past, but that was a good statement from the Washington Cardinal. Basically pointing out the president in public. It was in an interview. He pointed him out and called him a cafeteria Catholic. So good for him. Mm-hmm. While the cardinal is correct about the horrific selectivity of these bad Catholic politicians, he should broaden his analysis. The massive growth of cafeteria Catholic politicians is due entirely, here it is, to having cafeteria cardinals and bishops shepherding Christ's flock. Paul, I know you got a lot to say about that. Go ahead and pick it up from there.
Yeah. These politicians pick and choose with impunity because they know nothing, absolutely nothing, will ever happen to them in this life. The only one that matters to them. These public leaders can look back at the record with confidence and see that this immunity has lasted decades. Be it abortion up to birth or designating Transgender Visibility Day to be on Easter Sunday, there's absolutely nothing that will land them in trouble. No possible outrage to God and his law will ever get them excommunicated by today's cafeteria cardinals and bishops. Everything is allowed. Nothing is forbidden. These bad Catholic politicians understand that their impunity is because cafeteria cardinals and bishops themselves also pick and choose what parts of the faith they decide to defend in an entirely predictable manner. Indeed, bishops are responsible for the integrity and practice of the faith in the areas under their jurisdiction. The bishop is responsible before God for the souls entrusted to his care. Just to whom much is given, is required. And see, that's what people fail to realize. You're not getting away with anything. So when we're talking about being, the successors of the apostles, they have a big responsibility and a duty on their shoulders. And if they shirk that duty, well, I think many saints have talked about it, just that some of the lowest parts of hell are reserved for them.
You're absolutely right, Paul. The article says, because the salvation of souls is at stake, the bishop has no right to pick and choose which tenets of the faith and which parts of Catholic morality can be left undefended, which of the Ten Commandments can be ignored, and which public blasphemies and moral scandals will remain undenounced and unpunished. This selective defense of the faith results in a distorted view of church teaching. The church has always stood out by presenting the truth and confronting the errors of time fearlessly, even if this means suffering persecution. A good example of this courageous attitude is the church's condemnation of Nazism, despite the pressure from the cafeteria officials of the time to do the contrary. Pius XI enlisted the support of all the clergy in proclaiming the truth in his German language encyclical Mitbrennender, Sorge, in 1937, targeting Hitler's Nazi regime then in power. The Pope said, quote, "The first and most natural gift of love of the priest to his milieu is a service of the truth, and indeed of the whole truth, the unmasking and refutation of error, no matter in what form and in what disguise, in what makeup it may present itself in. To renounce this would not only be a betrayal of God and your holy vocation, it would also be a sin against the welfare of your people and nation," close quote. We will continue on the next segment talking about, Lord, deliver us from the scourge of cafeteria cardinals and bishops, and Lord, deliver us from evil. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911. We're talking about, Lord, deliver us from bad cardinals and bad bishops, and deliver us from evil as well. I just want to congratulate all the Catholics here in Phoenix, Arizona, that spent the entire day yesterday with the rosaries and prayer at the Arizona State Capitol. And thanks be to God, because of your presence and prayers, the left was not able to repeal the Arizona ban on abortion, which has been a law since 1864, then again in 1913, then again in 1977. So kudos to all you brothers and sisters in Christ out there for going out there and pounding the pavement for Jesus. Paul, let's continue here. If you want to pick it up where our Lord says Jesus' Great Commission.
Yeah, Jess, before I pick it up, I'd just like to make a couple of comments. You know, in thinking about this, these cafeteria cardinals and what all that means, Christ has given us everything. When I say us, beginning with the successors of the apostles and then trickling down all the way to us, he's given us a mandate to emulate him, to go out courageously, empowered by the Holy Spirit of God himself, in order to be a rock of offense, a stone of stumbling, because that's what we are to this world. But if necessary, just to lay down our lives. And that's what a faithful shepherd does. The hireling is the one who tries to negotiate and, let's see how we can best resolve this. But the one who courageously stands for God, and if necessary, gives his life, that's what we're all called to do. And anything less than that, or willingness less than that, is not true faith.
Amen. Amen. That's why our Lord says that we're called to, pick up our cross and follow him. It's not going to be an easy journey, but at the end, it will be worth it. Every single pain and suffering will have been worth it, but the journey will be just like the Via Dolorosa that our Lord walked through.
Yeah, we were created for this moment, Jess, this moment. And by the way, we're living in the times that we live in, and we say, wow, there's so much going on in the world. You go back, to the French Revolution, look what was going on back then when that guillotine was brought out, when nuns and priests were actually, beheaded because of what they stood for and who they stood for. Yeah. So every generation of Christians, will be given a test. Amen. And this is just happens to be our time.
Amen. You got it, brother. Yeah. Go ahead. Pick it up.
Yeah. Jesus' great commission to spread the gospel directs the church to teach a revealed doctrine that constitutes an indivisible whole. Preaching truth must include condemning error. It requires disciplining with censure and excommunication those who perniciously deny church teaching and would and wound the spiritual common good. Wow, enough of that. That's surely not going on today, Jess. Accepting or tolerating that the church's teachings be partially ignored, silenced, or suppressed for the sake of political expediency is a total betrayal of a bishop's mission.
Powerful.
Amen, amen. Ooh. Preach the truth. It is a total betrayal. You see, this is what Christ is asking, Jess. It's, you give, he's either Lord of all or not Lord at all. Especially when you are a bishop, especially when you have been given such a high position and an important position. If they don't set the bar high, who is, Jess?
If not then, who? And if not now, then when?
Amen.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Amen. Thus, cafeteria Catholics are the natural fruit of cafeteria cardinals and bishops who teach most eloquently through their actions and omissions over time that the church is a big cafeteria where everyone, even cardinals and bishops, can pick up and choose whatever they want to believe in. This attitude propagates that disordered vision of the faith that had led to today's massive decadence and apostasy. However,
he said a mouthful.
Dr.
Horvath said a mouthful.
Oh yeah, he sees the direct link, Jess, and there is
He's a clear thinker.
Yeah,
very clear moral thinker.
Yeah, So, so goes the head, so goes the body, and they represent, the head. They are, the priest in the mass, we say he is in persona Christi, right? So their position then in this, in the visible church would be that of the head. Hmm. And so goes the head, just so goes the body.
Yeah. If the head rots, the body's going to rot.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead and pick it up.
However, this is a strange cafeteria. It breaks all the rules. Cafeterias normally offer a wide variety of healthy foods that cater to the customer's tastes. No harmful selections are allowed, normally. For the leftist Catholic, this cafeteria features the same fare of shallow spirituality, social justice, socialism, liberation theology rhetoric, diverse heresies, and Father James Martinesque LGBTQ favoring offerings wrapped in a veneer of Catholic trappings. This guy should be a poet. the way he writes, Jess. It is so true. He's calling it like it is.
He's like an umpire. He's calling balls and strikes.
Yeah, just right. This is not a cafeteria full of tantalizing options, but one that dishes out toxic doctrinal errors that lead souls away from Christ and his law. Wow. Yes.
That's a mic drop right there. I'm telling you, man. The mic keeps dropping right now with this Dr. John Horvath's article. I'm telling you.
Yeah, and everybody out there who has their focus on Christ, I know they're saying amen, 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 because it is so true. And it's about time we had somebody bold enough, like you said, to call balls and strikes as they are.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and finish it up. Then we'll talk.
This is not a cafeteria full of tantalizing.
It is well and good. Yeah, it is well and good.
It is well and good, to denounce cafeteria Catholic politicians, but worse are the cafeteria cardinals and bishops who have long made their predictable picking and choosing of liberal errors possible by refusing to uphold the truth and sanction these politicians. This dereliction of duty has drastic and eternal consequences, including the eternal damnation of millions of souls. It's past time to shut the cafeteria down. It never had a right to open. Just like I said, there are deep recesses in hell prepared for people in high positions in the church who neglect their duty. They are Judases who basically betray our Lord and Savior with a kiss.
That's right. I know I tipped my hat to Cardinal Gregory for calling Biden a cafeteria Catholic, but you know, based on this article, truth be told, he's also a cafeteria cardinal. We know that Biden
is in a glass house.
Yeah, exactly. Biden is by no means the loyal son of the faith. We know that. But Cardinal Gregory, he's also been guilty of such things as coddling the LGBTQ plus crowd, very soft on that. He also has an aversion for the Latin Mass. He closed all the Latin Masses. So yeah, he's no paradigm of apostolic virtue. But I'll tell you what Cardinal Gregory can do, and his judgment would go well. He should deny Holy Communion to all those Catholic politicians, including Joe Biden, according to Canon 915, that are committing the sin of sacrilege by ignoring the church's teachings and receiving. And we know that because just look at their voting record. So their mortal sin is public. It's not like, oh, Jess, you can't read Biden's soul. You don't know. All you got to do is read his 110 executive orders. They all promote mortal sin. They all go against the moral and natural law. I don't have to be able to read his soul. Yeah, I just have to read what he signs.
My lying eyes, right?
Yeah, if Cardinal Wilton, if he wants things to go well, he's an old man. If he wants things to go well, him and other cardinals and bishops, they need to start excommunicating these politicians and threaten them with excommunication. This is lukewarmness on their part, and we know what our Lord does to people that are neither hot nor cold.
Jess, listen, as I think back not too long ago, you guys were standing strong against the so-called sisters of perpetual indulgence. And I remember the statement that came out of the Archdiocese of LA. Mm-hmm. What did they say? They mentioned that they don't support what's going on and that they'll dialogue in the future with this group. This group was basically, it kind of reminds me of the situation where David, he hears Goliath, saying all these things against God, and David is highly offended. He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" and that should be the approach that we take. You know, the courage of young David. Yes. And, you know, we get our five smooth stones. You know,
exactly. And instead, we're trying to make peace with the enemy.
Yeah, we're like, let's talk. Goliath, let's talk about this for a little bit, you know? No, there's a time for talk and there's a time to confront and correct. Yeah. And the Bible says clearly that love corrects.
That's right. And I'll tell you one thing, Paul, and somebody else who's running for president is Kennedy. Kennedy comes from the cafeteria Catholic family. I mean, the Kennedys also, they're no paradigm of Catholicism. So we have Trump, a Presbyterian, so he's not Catholic, so I'm not going to hold him to Catholic standards. We have Joe Biden, who's a baptized Catholic, and Kennedy, who's running as an independent, he's a Catholic. Both these guys, they both fall into the category of cafeteria Catholics, and they're definitely no paradigm they're definitely not role models for Catholics. And I can tell you this, that of the three people that are running, I can tell you two people that I will not be voting for.
Hey, but Jess, I saw AOC, I saw Biden. They had ashes on their forehead on Ash Wednesday. Kidding. I say that jokingly, but yeah. Listen, folks, you know, we need to, like Jess always says, it's about true conversion of the heart. Sacrifice and offering I have not desired, but a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise.
Amen. We'll be right back. We're going to be talking about Jesus Christ, the one shepherd, one bishop, one priest, and one deacon in heaven forever.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Myself and Paul were retired law enforcement. A couple of days ago, we had Father Dave Nix. Well, I'm going to have him on again next week. He also was a paramedic, retired paramedic before he became a priest. You know, Paul, I was thinking about just thinking about the afterlife, saying, I wonder if there's going to be cops in heaven. I wonder if there's going to be firemen in heaven. What about paramedics? What about doctors? What about judges? What about, mayors, district attorneys, sheriffs? What about, priests, bishops? And I wrote this article demonstrating that basically everything is going to be fulfilled in the person of Christ. Let me share this with you. And it's on my blog. If you go to my Jesse Romero and go to my blog, I posted my thoughts on this topic on the blog. And here's what I wrote. Then I'll get Paul's reaction to it. The word Pontifex Maximus, which is the title of the popes, by the way, was the highest religious position in ancient Rome. It translates to the supreme high priest. Well, guess what? In heaven, only Jesus Christ will be the Pontifex Maximus and the high priest, because that's what Pontifex Maximus means, high priest. Only Jesus is the high priest in heaven. Hebrews 3:1, Hebrews 4:15, Hebrews 5:1, Hebrews 7:26. Jesus is not going to share that office of high priest with anybody else. He is the high priest. All the other high priests were temporary, provisional, and probationary. Now, here's another thought. On earth, we've had many bishops since the first century Catholic Church. The Bible tells us that Jesus is the bishop and shepherd of our souls in 1 Peter 2:25. So Jesus is called the bishop, okay? Which means that any other bishop, that's a temporal, probationary, provisional position, because all of them were types of Christ, and Christ is the fulfillment of the type. Christ is the bishop in heaven. He is the shepherd. The word shepherd means pastor in Latin, pastor. So your pastor, is not going to be a pastor in heaven, or neither is mine. Our pastor is going to be Jesus Christ, the only pastor of the world and the universe. Now, on earth, we've had many deacons. While in heaven, the word deacon means a servant. In heaven, Jesus will be the only deacon. That's what St. Paul calls him in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. He actually calls our Lord Jesus Christ a deacon of the church triumphant. Finally, we had apostles in the early church. In heaven, Jesus Christ is the only true everlasting apostle. The Bible says, calls Jesus an apostle, Hebrews 3:1. All the other apostles are apostles with a small a. Jesus is the apostle with a big A. Because the word apostle means in Greek, the one who was sent by the authority of the one sending him. Well, Jesus Christ is the only one sent by the Father, nobody else.
Amen.
Now on earth, we've had many ministers of the sanctuary. Well, guess what? In heaven, Jesus is the only real minister of the sanctuary, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. Yes, Jesus is not in heaven concelebrating a mass. He doesn't need anybody else. He is the only true minister of the sanctuary. Yep. Also, Jesus fulfills the threefold office of the clergy perfectly, permanently, and forever, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24. In other words, all the offices of the 266 popes, all of them are fulfilled in the Pontificus Maximus, which is Jesus Christ. All the 266 Pontificus Maximus all point to Christ, and they all are foreshadow Christ. Now,
yes,
in heaven, and this is why, by the way, the tabernacle should be in the center of every Catholic church, because inside that tabernacle, that is Jesus Christ dwelling, really present in our midst. Well, guess what? In heaven, Christ will be the center of it all. He's not in the side. He's not in a closet. He's not in the corner. He's in the center. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He sits on the throne forever, according to Revelation 5:6, Revelation chapter 5:13, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, Isaiah 45:6, and Psalm 103:19. Also, what is Jesus Christ's office in heaven if you really think about it? He's a king. He's a king. He's a king. How long? The Bible says in Revelation 15:3, he's the king of the ages. Some translations say he's the king forever. That's what he is. So God is the ruler of all the nations. Psalm 22, verse 28. Some translations say God is the governor of all the nations. That's why no matter who's in charge, civilly or spiritually, their offices are temporary. That's why we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Why? Because Jesus' office is eternal. He doesn't have to run every 4 years. He's a king, an eternal king of the ages. Why is his office eternal? Because he is eternal. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. And guess what? And his covenant is eternal. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. And guess what? Jesus, the God-man, doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, 8. Now, let me come down to planet Earth here, then I want to get Paul's comments. In heaven, when you read the scriptures or the tradition of the church, you don't see in heaven any description of presidents or vice presidents or prime ministers or senators or congressmen or mayors, attorney generals, district attorneys, mayors, councilmen. In fact, I dare say that there will be no popes, the office of the pope, Pontifex Maximus, supreme shepherd of the flock. There will be no office of bishops, priests, or deacons either. And in heaven, which is a Hispanic custom and a Filipino custom, in heaven, you know, Hispanic and Filipino Catholics typically bow and kiss the ring of a priest, a bishop, a pope. Well, in heaven, God is the only Holy Father. John 17, 11. God will be the only Holy Father. Why? All those offices were meant to keep civil and spiritual order in a fallen world. Heaven is not fallen. You no longer need those offices in heaven. Government was given to us, government has given us, should I say, government has given to us external law to keep order. Stop signs, speed limits. Why? To keep order. And the church leaders gave us internal law to keep order in the family and in the individual person. Well, guess what? Here's the kicker. Here's the cash value to everything I'm saying. In heaven, everything is perfectly ordered by God forever. So you don't need cops. You don't need county jails. You don't need judges and DAs. And you don't need public defenders. Everything in heaven is perfectly ordered forever. None of these civil or spiritual offices are necessary or will exist in heaven because they're no longer necessary. These offices were for a fallen world. Now, This is why the Bible says over and over again, do not put your trust in the princesses of this world. It's all over the Psalms. Psalm 146, verse 3. Don't put your trust in men, and the princesses of this world. Why? Those offices are temporary.
Yes.
This is why, as Catholics, the Divine Mercy prayer that I pray every day at 3 o'clock, I've been doing it for like 20 years, you know, the Jesus, I trust in you prayer. Jesus is our hope. That's what St. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:1. He said, Jesus is our hope. Now, let me wrap it up with this, and I want to have a conversation with Paul. Dr. Scott Hahn says that God, one of God's names is Elohim. Elohim means God the creator in Hebrew, which means that God is a God of order, a God of order, not disorder, a God of order. All you got to do is look at Genesis chapter 1 and 2, and what do we see? Out of chaos, God brings perfect order and harmony. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the Bible says, the earth was without form and void. Now, in the original Hebrew that Moses wrote, it says that the earth is tohu wabohu. Those two words which Moses used to describe the primordial earth's twofold condition, what do those words mean? That it the earth was formlessness and emptiness. Formless and emptiness. Well, guess what? God transforms earth from chaos to cosmos according to his power and plan. And so what is heaven? Heaven, the catechism in the Bible tells us, it's the household of God. It is the place of perfect order and harmony. And lastly, I forgot to mention, in heaven there will be no doctors. You know why? Because Jesus Christ will be our only divine physician, according to Matthew 9:12, Hosea chapter 6, verse 1, and Psalm 147, verse 3. We're going to go to a quick break, then I want to have a conversation with Paul. I want to get his reflections, since Paul's a Bible junkie like myself, so I want to get his thoughts on what I said. You're listening to Jesus 9:11. We're just talking about here the way in heaven our Lord Jesus Christ will be the one shepherd, the one pastor, the one bishop, the one priest, the one deacon, the one Pontifex Maximus. And in heaven, we won't need a chief of police, a county jail, a sheriff, a mayor. Those things were given for a fallen nature, for fallen people in a fallen state. In heaven, everything is perfectly ordered by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We'll be right back. Stick around. Don't go anywhere.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, talking about all things Catholic. Paul, so what did you think about my musings, my thoughtful reflections the other day? And I put pen to paper, and I just said, well, this all makes sense. Yeah, we don't need a sheriff in the next life, or deputies, or patrol cars, or stop signs. And so I just kind of intuited, based on scripture, that all these offices are temporal offices. Just like we know the office of the high priest was a temporal office, because Christ fulfills that office. What say you about some of my thoughts and reflections?
Yeah, Jess. So Acts 17, verse 28 comes to mind, which says, for in him we live and breathe and have our being. So, you know, when you understand that in reality, just because we don't see it here on earth, that order is already set. We're just working through it in time and space. But in reality, we know that Christ has already conquered. He already is king, and the order is already set. And so, again, I tell people all the time that, listen, you know, they say, well, if God's all powerful, why does he allow all these? Well, because this is, listen, love involves a choice. And God has given us a real choice. And so he's allowing evil to exist in the world. Why? Number one, for our sake. So that, uh, uh, so, so number, we demonstrate our love for God by choosing goodness and virtue rather than evil. So yeah, I see it all connected. Everything you said, I agree. Christ is all in all. He is the King of Kings. And yeah, of course there won't be any need for doctors. Why? Because there's no more sickness, no more suffering. You know, of course, the kingship of Christ is, you know, is a given. And here's the other thought, Jess. When Christ created Adam, the first Adam, he gave him dominion. All the gifts in creation, God clearly gave to man. He's allowed man to reign as a king, because kings have dominion, and God is going to restore us back to humanity par excellence. No longer will we have that marred vision. I mean, excuse me, that marred intellect and that sin brought to the world. And so right now, I know it's hard for a lot of us to see it, because even we see failings, even from those in the church who should know better. Well, because we all suffer from something called sin. But let's not, again, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Justice will perfectly be served in the end. And according to Revelation chapter 21, Jess, when you read it, you can take comfort and know that all things are going to be set in it in the proper order. Let me just quote a little bit of it in Revelation chapter 21. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And there was, you know, well, let me skip down here. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of fire, the fiery lake of burning sulfur, which is the second death. You see, the reason why we won't need any of that, Jess, is because all the problems will be extracted. Those people who didn't love God on the earth and demonstrate that by literally a willingness to give their lives for what they love, well, they're going to be removed from our presence. God is going to see to that, and there won't be any, it won't be necessary to have any of those offices anymore, because there'll be no challenge to the kingship of Christ. I can't wait for that day.
Paul, and there will be no stolen elections in heaven, because Jesus Christ is never running for office. He's king forever.
Yes, indeed, Jess. Yeah. Yes, indeed. Christ is king.
Yeah.
Jess, we heard about Candace Owens, and we heard when she talks about the kingship of Christ, and look how much trouble she got in.
Yeah. You God know? Bless her. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
She's a Protestant Christian, as we know right now, and she's proclaiming Catholic truth.
Yes.
Because yes. That's you don't hear most Protestants saying that. That's kind of a Catholic phrase. Christ is king. That's an ancient Catholic phrase. And so good for her. Let's keep on praying for her that she comes into the fullness of the faith. But Paul, we also have to beware of false Jesuses and false gospels. Yeah. I mean, St. Paul warns us in 2 Corinthians 11:4. He says, for if someone comes and preaches another Jesus than the one we preached. And so we as Catholics have to watch out for this different, this other Jesus, this other gospel that is proclaimed out there in this pluralistic religious society, because there's only one Jesus, who's the Son of God, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, became man, died for our sins, lived a perfect life, perfectly holy, rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, started the Catholic Church in 33 AD, left the apostles in charge of the apostolic church and will come back at the end of time to judge the living and the dead. That's the Jesus of the Catholic faith. That's the Jesus of the sacred scripture. And I'll tell you that Jesus Christ is the greatest man that ever lived in history. If you think about it, he had no servants, yet people called him master. He had no college degree, yet people call him teacher. He had no medicines, yet people call him doctor and healer. He had no army, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, and yet he conquered the world through love. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, and guess what? That tomb could not hold him. I don't know about you, but I feel honored and blessed to be a Catholic Christian and to be able to serve such a leader, such a king who loves us like Jesus Christ.
Yeah, when Jesus asked the question, you know, who do men say that I am? You see, that's the question of all questions, Jess, because it, you know, men say a lot of things about Jesus, but it was the declaration that Simon made that Jesus affirmed that. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And at that time, Jesus changed his name. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, but my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Whenever God changes a name, you know something big is happening. Mm-hmm. And that declaration that Peter understood who Jesus was, and he's not just a prophet, even though he is the prophet par excellence. He's not just a man. You know, Jesus is, in fact, the eternal Word of God made flesh, who became man, our kinsman redeemer, to redeem us to redemption for the human race, so that once again, what was stolen from us in the garden, Jess, stolen from us by the devil himself, would be restored. And man once again could have divine sonship restored to him. And as sons, the Father is willing to give us all the blessings of heaven in order to, and the inheritance that we, that he intended for us from the beginning.
You know, just think about just the name Jesus. It says everything you need to know about him.
Yes.
The name Jesus means God saves. Yeshua.
Amen.
God.
Amen.
It tells you who he is, God, and it tells you what he does,
saves.
Subject, predicate. For our fourth grade English classes, subject, predicate. And also, as Catholics, remember, don't be afraid when a Protestant tells you, hey, have you done the sinner's prayer? As Catholics, we've been doing the sinner's prayer since the very beginning of time. Think about the Gospel of Luke, where the publican walks into the temple and he beats his chest three times and says, Lord Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's a sinner's prayer. In the Catholic Church, there's all kinds of sinner's prayers. The act of contrition is a sinner's prayer. The Fatima prayer is a sinner's prayer. Oh, my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of. That's a sinner's prayer.
Mass.
The Lord have mercy.
The Mass itself.
Lord have mercy, Christ. All the beginning prayers in the Catholic Mass, in the Novus Ordo or the Latin Mass, they're all penitential prayers. They're all sinner's prayers. And there's even an old 4th century prayer by St. John Chrysostom in the 4th century. It goes like this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Eastern Catholics have been saying that since the 4th century at least. They walk around the streets in their mind saying that all day. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So remember, as Catholics, the sinner's prayer is New Testament. It's Catholic. It belongs to us. But again, it's not enough. You know, that sinner's prayer is supposed to move you into now a life of discipleship. Say, okay, I've repented. Now I want to follow the master. That's what disciple means. Disciple in Greek, mathetes, means a student of the master. That's what disciple means.
Amen. Not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Obedience just is a byproduct of love. Jesus said, if you love me, obey me, then you are my disciples. And that obedience comes from conversion, just true conversion. You can have all the right doctrine and dogma all day long, but unless you're willing to surrender your heart, unless you say, unless you have a broken and a contrite heart, that is the heart that God works with. The one who understands and surrenders and says, Lord, have mercy, like the tax collector in the temple. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen. That's a wrap. Jesus 911, two-man car. Hey, next week we'll have Father Dave Nix on again. We're going to be talking about another topic, a three-week conversation. But as for us, Mr. Engineer, who's up next? Dr. Louis Sandoval, expert in psychiatry and expert also in the field of exorcism. Well, we'll be right. We'll see you next time. Same Christ time, same Christ channel. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole Church, grant it love and the light of thy Spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of